Hi, I'm Cliff the Change Agent, and welcome to the reboot of Jump to the Next Level.
The new focus of this show is about helping as many people as possible reach their fullest potential by creating abundance. First, the basic needs of drinking water, nutritious food, and shelter must be met. Then, people need the tools required to participate in society. Those are energy, education, and information communication technology. Finally, there are the social structures needed to remove limitations. They are health and freedom. Abundance is the manifestation of I am, we are consciousness in the physical world. This mindset is also called unity, and it is the opposite of the dualistic thinking that has consumed our world for generations. I am, we are consciousness has been a dream for a long time. It is the motto of the United States, e pluribus unum, from many, one. In other words, the diversity of the individual must be balanced with the common good. It is a heart-centered way of being. It recognizes that the primary force of the universe is unconditional love. Everything and everyone is connected. Einstein called it quantum entanglement. We forgot that unconditional love is the natural order of this universe. That caused the entire human race, indeed, all of planet Earth, to become immersed in dualistic thinking of us versus them. It created scarcity and a scrambling for resources. I am, we are consciousness is the way we regain unconditional love. Unconditional love of ourselves allows us to truly take personal responsibility for our lives. It is the I am part of the consciousness. Service to others that is not motivated by some rational self-interest is the we are part of the consciousness. They complement each other and allow us to live from the heart. Living in the heart-centric state will allow us to implement the 8 building blocks of abundance. These in turn create a deeper and deeper understanding of what it means to live sustainable, healthy, and peaceful lives, as well as figure out how to do it.
I want to welcome you to the reboot of our show. As you probably have noticed, we've been off for several months, and we've been retooling. Instead of dealing with all 4 pillars of the new economy, we're going to focus on abundance. It's not that we're going to completely ignore the other 3 pillars. In fact, they're woven inside of abundance. Health is one of the building blocks. Freedom and peace go together. And sustainability is woven throughout. We're also going to focus not just on the physical aspects of abundance, but how they fit in higher frames of reference and even into higher consciousness. In fact, the beauty of the we are consciousness I mentioned in the intro can be seen in the way people in the wake of Hurricane Harvey helped their fellow man. If they had a flatboat, they were willing to help rescue people. That is the we are consciousness. That is accepting the fact that we are all in this together. Also, we're going to have a new co-host, but we're going to save that for another day. Today's program is about abundance. And here's a hint, if you think abundance is prosperity, think again.
I want to start by reading a passage from the book that was very influential in my thinking. And the book is actually titled Abundance, The Future is Better Than You Think. Imagine a world of 9 billion people with clean water, nutritious food, affordable housing, personalized education, top-tier medical care, and non-polluting ubiquitous energy. This is abundance, and creating it is humankind's greatest challenge. It is not about creating a life of luxury for everyone on the planet. Rather, it is about providing all with a life of possibility. The words of the authors Peter H. Diamandis and Stephen Kotler. As the title says, the future is better than you think. Well, everyone on the planet has the idea is that everyone on the planet should have a life where basic needs are met and everyone has the possibility to reach their full potential. This may sound impossible until you think about how far we've come. In fact, I don't know if you noticed in the opening quote, they talked about 9 billion. That's because that's the projected population in just a few short years. But think about it. We've come a really long way in the history of humanity, and I just put together a short list of things that were considered just the way it is not too many generations ago. First and ugliest, well, there is no ugliest on this list. The first is plagues and influenza. Plagues ravaged the continent of Europe and killed 30 million people in the Middle Ages. The flu epidemic of 1918, you know, not long after World War I, was just as deadly. We have flu epidemics now, but when a few hundred die, that's considered a horrible thing, not tens of thousands. Of course, through most of man's existence or humankind's existence, there has been just terrible ignorance. There's been high infant mortality. There has been that horrible institution of slavery. These things, not a few hundred years ago, or even 100 years ago in the case of air conditioning, were considered just the way it is. Think about how far we've come. So what are the main things that caused all this progress? Well, education, technology, freedom, and let's not overlook cheap energy. Each of these things are included in what's called the abundance pyramid. This is one of those points that I really, really wish I had a video so you could see it. But what I'd like you to do is imagine a three-tiered pyramid. There are three building blocks on the bottom, three building blocks in the middle step, and two building blocks at the top. Diamandis and Kotler describe this as a squashed update of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, or pyramid of needs, and I think that's a good description. The pyramid focuses on the individual because high-functioning individuals are critical to any thriving larger group, be they communities, regions, nations, or the entire world. Abundance is the idea that people matter. And it's fundamental to the idea of abundance. People matter. So let's start and build this pyramid. The bottom layer has three building blocks. And the three things that are in these blocks are the things that are required for the basic survival of the individual. They are water, nutritious food, and shelter. We believe that people can live on 5 liters of water a day, 2,000 calories of balanced nutritious food, and protection from the elements, especially with adequate light, ventilation, and sanitation. When I say water, I mean safe drinking water. Because of the water on the planet, only about 2% is available to drink. And we do a particularly poor job of taking care of that 2% water. The middle tier also has three blocks. These are considered catalysts for future growth. And they are energy, education, and information and communications technology. Energy has been what has allowed the industrial age to thrive. Energy is, whether you like it or not, critical to our society. We believe going forward we need to become more interested in renewable energies as opposed to fossil fuels, and I absolutely agree with that. But energy is key to abundance. Education is so important, because that way you can learn what people before you knew, and that allows you to move forward. And this last building block in the middle phase is something that is relatively new: information and communication technology. By and large, that was not in the hands of the individual until just a couple of decades ago. But look at how far we've come in the age of the internet, which is the communications piece, and the age of personal computers, and more recently, cell phones. We have literally created a nervous system for the planet. So a lot of people ask why we should care about the whole world. Well, it pays double dividends. In the short term, it raises the standard of living. And in the longer term, it allows specialization and exchange, which are the greatest abundance assets in history. When we talk about raising the standard of living, people who are doing better tend to pollute less. They live longer, happier lives. Again, we come back to the core principle of abundance, which is the core principle that individuals matter. Two things in the top layer, and they're core requirements for enabling individuals to contribute to society. Those two core elements are health and freedom.
As I said before, health is one of the pillars of the new economy. Also, the new co-host is quite passionate about health. Freedom is something I am quite passionate about as a lifelong libertarian. The two of us will have a lot to say about these top two building blocks of the abundance pyramid as time goes on.
So, what are the barriers to abundance? Well, I start with the idea of abundance versus lack. And this is really as basic as old versus new. The whole industrial economy was based on scarcity and the idea that you had to get stuff that you didn't have. Selling things, acquiring more. A whole mentality of lack was built up around that. Abundance moves us past lack when you know you have enough to provide for your survival and your potential. Of course, this is reinforced by the media. And they tend to always sensationalize the bad. As it's said in journalism, if it bleeds, it leads. And of course, there's the basic idea that the hole we're in today is too deep to dig out of. Well, that's a fear mentality. And fear and panic are both reinforced by the old ways of thinking. Fear and panic at an ugly level tend to show up as cynicism and pessimism. And quite frankly, we humans are hardwired to panic. In caveman times, the person who saw the saber-toothed tiger and ran away survived. The one who said, "What me worry," didn't fare so well. Well, that's hardwired into our thinking now. There's also the whole idea that in today's world, we have a global exponential worldview. And again, our brains are hardwired more toward the local and linear thinking. Of course, it's very common that people have self-limiting beliefs. You know, we can't possibly have all the facts or outcomes, so we rely on rules of thumbs called heuristics. Well, those are the basic beliefs that you have. And they tend to serve us pretty well. It can also lead to bias. And some of that bias is based on the belief that what is will always be. Hopefully, you've lived through the last 20, even 5 years, and realized how much change there's been and what is won't always be, and what isn't is likely to become every day in just a few years. One of the self-limiting beliefs is that we can't produce any more food without turning old-growth forests into farmland. And that's just certainly not true. It may, you know, in terms of self-limiting beliefs, it might be realistic to believe you'll never be an Olympic competitor, but it shouldn't lead you to believe that huge portion of the world's population simply must starve. The one thing does not lead to another, although self-limiting beliefs tend to let you believe that that's true. I want to talk about our sponsor, and our sponsor is Debt Hackers. Debt's one of the key ways that you become trapped in a version of the old American dream, the default vision, if you will, instead of the vision you choose. Houses, cars, and education are so expensive that almost everyone must take on debt to own them. Then the lender has a say in how you live your life because you must earn the money to make the payments. The whole economy is built on the quicksand of buy now, pay later thinking. This certainly extends to most big ticket items with their inflated prices, since you may be making easy payments that seem small. They all add up to a trap that robs you of the choices that are the basis of the new economy. That's why I started Debt Hackers, to help individuals and families reduce the debt they already have and maybe even eliminate it. It's even better when we can help clients find alternatives to avoid debt in the first place. Does that sound good to you? Then visit debthackers.org and sign up now. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the exchanges that we talked about up in the second layer. You know, exchanges don't even have to be fair to benefit both sides. The idea of I make a suit of clothes for you and you make a suit of clothes for me doesn't really help. What helps is I'll make the shoes, you make the hats, and we trade. Or even better, I make the clothes, another person trains the horses, you grow the food, and we trade. Everybody wins, even when one side gets the better of the deal. We talked a lot about the fact that education allows you to stand on the giants of others. I want you to think about what may actually be the pinnacle of society, and that's the salad bar. You know, the lowly salad bar. Think about it. All those vegetables that come from all over the world, all those fruits and nuts that come from all over the world, think about the amount of transportation that went into that. Think about the people who had to have knowledge to grow all that food. Think about what it took to keep that food fresh. Also, they could be laid out on a bed of ice for you to pick and choose. It is really the pinnacle of the pinnacle of modern society. And had there been no education, the farmer would have had to figure out how to grow lettuce all over again because there was no education on how to do it. The trucker would have had to, well, it would have been a car owner because there wouldn't have been mechanics to build trucks, would have to cart it. You would be limited to just the food that could be grown in about a two-day, unless you lived on a river, you'd be within a two-day cart ride of all the production of your food. Quite limiting. Abundance actually happens or can happen in our lifetime because we have new enabling technologies. It starts with the information and communication technology and one of its base principles called Moore's Law. And that sounds really basic, that the number of transistors that can fit on a chip double every 18 months to 2 years. But that computing power and that growing computing power has enabled whole new industries. It enabled the internet. it enabled the digital photography. It enabled things like more powerful computers. The computers that were aboard the Galileo spacecraft, which was launched in the 70s, wouldn't hold a candle to the cell phone that I'm holding right now. That's Moore's Law in action. And the cell phone in and of itself has powers that were unimaginable to our grandparents. The idea that you could Google the answer to a question instead of having to go to a library and look and look and look. I'm going to give you a list of industries that were enabled purely by Moore's Law. Genomics, in other words, sequencing the gene. The Internet of Things, which is the idea that we're going to have things talking to each other without people actively involved. Artificial intelligence, robotics, printing, and of course, the really wild one, nanotechnology. The idea of abundance is when everyone on the planet has a life where basic needs are met and everyone has the possibility to reach their full potential. The things we need to create abundance can be organized into a pyramid with three layers. The bottom layer contains things that are required for basic survival. The middle has things that are catalysts for further growth. The top has two core requirements enabling individuals to thrive and contribute to society. The quote from the book Abundance, imagine a world of 9 billion people with clean water, nutritious food, affordable housing, personalized education, top-tier medical care, and non-polluting, ubiquitous energy. This is abundance, and creating it is humankind's greatest challenge. It is not about creating a life of luxury for everyone on the planet. Rather, it's about providing all with a life of possibility. I urge you to read the book, Abundance. The future is better than you think.
We're going to end every one of the new shows with a 5-minute meditation. Please enjoy it and then stay tuned for final announcements. Let's start by sitting comfortably in an upright position. Place your hands over your heart. Focus your attention on your heart and your heart center. Slow your breathing. As you breathe, focus more deeply on your heart with each breath. Just continue to breathe. You may want to let your hands fall comfortably into your lap. Now, imagine how your heart connects. Drop a connection down your backbone, past your tailbone, into the earth. With each breath, let that connection go deeper and deeper. Far down as you feel comfortable. Just a few feet down, if that's okay with you. Or, as you practice this more deeply, you may very quickly
drop that connection all the way to the Earth's core. Whatever's right for you. Experience that connection with each breath. Just as that first connection is a root, now let's blossom upward. Create a new connection from your heart that goes upward, again through your backbone, through your skull, out the crown, and into the sky. With each breath, it grows a little taller. You're anchored to the earth, so you can grow it just as tall as you wish. Notice how the image grows. Feel free to try this again on your own, at your own pace. Blessings.
Please join us next time when we explore what jumping to the next level even means.